the podcast everybody's been waiting for, the first HUD Post podcast. Here we're going to, the podcast is going to be essentially celebrating people from Hudson County, and I'm so happy to have my first guest, Stephen Gonzalez.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you being on. You know, I was watching your highlights right before you came here, and I have to say, if I had to play against you in high school, I would be really upset.
That's a lot of guys I felt like, you know, just probably seeing a 6'4", 300-pound guy towering over them, they're probably like, oh, God, what do I do?
So when did you get to this size? Like, you know, were you a big kid always? Or
I was always a big kid. I mean, like, in eighth grade, I already had, like, a beard, and I was already 6'4", or not even eighth grade, I think, like, in seventh grade or something like that, I was already, like, with a full beard, and people were like, what the hell's wrong with this guy? this guy's puberty is going way too quick. Yeah. So, you know, but no, I've always been pretty big as a kid. You know, my mom's grandfather was 6'4", so I'm assuming that's where I got my height from, but everyone in my family's been, you know, is pretty tall. Like, my sister's 5'9", like, my dad was 6'1" when he was, you know, still around. My brother's 6 feet tall, like, everyone's pretty tall, so I guess I got it from them. Right. But, you know, I was blessed, thank God.
what's your background? What's your family's background?
So I got four sisters. They're all pretty much half-siblings, except my one sister, who's, you know, related to me and my mom. But they're all from my dad's side. I have two brothers as well, a younger and an older. And then all my sisters are older than me. All Cuban, you know, I'm 100% Cuban. And yeah, born and raised in Union City, or I was born in Englewood, raised in Union City.
All right, but perfect. So tell me about your experience in Union City. So I know you've been playing football since you were 6 or 7, so I imagine that's in the rec program that you were in?
Yeah. So I went through the typical Union City rec youth program, Pop Warner, played for the teams called, I'm pretty sure it was the Mustangs, Warriors, and Chiefs in that order. Like, the Mustangs were the youngest, Warriors were the oldest, or Chiefs were the oldest. There we go. So I played for them. Obviously went through the system. You know, always kind of had a little potential. People kind of always felt like, oh, okay, he's a big kid. Like, you know, it could work out. Let's see what happens. And then, you know, as high school starts to get around, you know, I'm playing my freshman year. It's going all right. You know, it's not too bad. And then as high school goes on, you know, I start, you know, getting more interest from schools and things like that. And I guess that's just kind of how football started for me. And my dad always, you know, was a big football fan. We grew up as Vikings fans, actually.
All right.
You know, so a lot of years of pain.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But so we grew up as Vikings fans. And, you know, I always grew up around the sport. And, you know, we always love sports. Like, my family's a big sports family. So, you know, basketball, football, baseball, like, anything you name it, like, we were doing it. And, you know, my brothers were always participating in sports. My little brother actually is getting recruited now by Caldwell University and things like that. So, you know, it's pretty cool. It's pretty dope
and
to see.
And where's he playing out of Union City as well?
Actually, he's in Cliffside.
Oh, Cliffside. Yeah. You got them out of Union City?
Yeah.
That's good. So, I know you mentioned your father. You know, I read that he passed away your senior year, and that impacted you a lot.
My junior year, actually.
Your junior year. All right. And, yeah, tell me about that. Like, you know, I'll open on, like, I guess, this podcast for everybody. I didn't grow up with a father, so I didn't never had that connection. So I can't imagine having a connection with a man and losing him at a time of that, like, you know, that time of your life.
Yeah, I mean, it was very tough for me. It was probably, like I tell a lot of people that I'm close to, it's one of the darkest times of my life, just because, you know, it just happened so suddenly, and I didn't expect that. Me and him, you know, talked the night before it happened and everything, too. So, you know, and I still even remember the last words he told me. He said, you know, I love you and I'll see you soon. And that was the last thing I heard from him. So, it was tough. It was tough. It was dark days. But, you know, I had a great support system. All the Union City coaches, all Union City, I felt like was behind my back, really. And, you know, I felt like I had family other than my immediate family who was supporting me and had my back as well. But, you know, like I said, it was a very, very, very dark time for me, and it was tough. I mean, you know, I love my dad so much. You know, we grew up together, and, you know, like I said, watching football together and watching sports and just hanging out, and, you know, just he's always coming to my games and things like that. And, you know, he just showed what's the word I'm looking for?
Unconditional love.
That's the word I'm looking for. I'm bad at, you know, words and things like that. I always confuse things in my head. But, yes, unconditional love. You know, he always showed that to all of, you know, all of his kids. You know, he loved us. 150%, like, and he was always spending time with us. So, you know, I was very close with my dad, at least. You know, obviously we bonded over football a lot. Yeah, it was tough. It was a very, very tough. It still is. It still is. It still lingers around, you know, nowadays, and, you know, it still bothers me. But, you know, I know that he's proud of what I've accomplished so far, and I'm hoping I'm making him proud still.
I'm sure he is. Maybe he would have been excited if you won the Vikings.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's proud either way. Now, I know you talked about support system. I think that's important for, you know, a lot of viewers here. That, you know, you go open that. Don't worry. This is, you know, this is HUD Post podcast. Come on. I think it's important for people to know that, like, you know, people are going to look up to you. Kids know that, you know, you were in the NFL, that you got to places where they dream of. But at the end of the day, you still went through struggles that everyone that goes through in Union City. And you said you were able to find some comfort in the Union City family. So tell me about that.
Yeah, I mean, like, just going off the rails a little bit, but yeah. Just everyone, you know, just kind of goes through, you know, these struggles, especially athletes, like, you know, and that's kind of a stigma that a lot of people have that, oh, you're, especially with male athletes, you're a male athlete, you're a football player, like, you shouldn't have emotions, you shouldn't, you know, there's no emotions. The only emotion you show is passion for football, passion for, you know, wanting to get better. So a lot of people kind of don't really see the mental health aspect of it, and, you know, kind of what we go through on a daily life. And, you know, I saw something, I think it was Michael Beasley, I think the other day said that there was one game that he came out with, like, the wrong shorts to, like, the NBA game or whatever, and, you know, but his mother and his cousin had literally just passed away, like, a week or two, like, within that week of that game. So, you know, just seeing that and just, you know, it just kind of shows me that, you know, a lot of people don't realize, you know, a lot what athletes have to go through mentally. Just and that's not even on top of just the sport itself. The sport itself is very mentally draining, mentally tasking. But, you know, Union City, they showed so much support. I mean, the athletic director, you know, my head coach, Will Valdez, my offensive line, all my coaches, really. They showed so much support with me during that time, especially during, you know, like I said, one of my darkest times. But, you know, like, even, like, the little things, like, they ordered, like, food for the wake for, you know, my family and stuff. And they ordered food for us throughout that week because they just, you know, they just cared, you know. And everyone just came in pouring support, all the students that were with me at the time, all, you know, faculty, staff, everyone was with me. And even that game where we played North Bergen right after he passed, you know, that was probably one of the best games of my life, just because I felt everyone's support that day. And it was just a lot of emotions running that day. But yeah, no, the Union City as a community just has my back, and, you know, I really am greatly appreciated, or I'm grateful for them, and I'm very appreciative of them.
Yeah, that's awesome. And, you know, I've seen that you've given back. So I could only imagine that just had an impact to saying, hey, since they gave me that love, I'm giving that love back to the city.
Oh, yeah, no, of course. And, you know, I'm always trying to give back to the city, whatever I do, even if it's just saying hi to someone that, you know, recognizes me. I'm just, you know, making their day. Like, there's sometimes where, you know, kids, like, now I'm substitute teaching in the high school, you know, just temporary while I wait for my career. But, you know, and I'm coaching on the side as well, coaching the high school kids. But, you know, just walking through the hallways, like, even the kids are just like, whoa, like, is that him? And, you know, they sometimes they'll take pictures and stuff like that. Like, it's cool, you know, it's cool to see that. It's cool to kind of be an influence and a role model to these kids. And that's just kind of what I'm really striving to be. I'm really trying to strive to be, you know, a good person to them and a good role model.
I think you're doing a good job, you know, I think.
Appreciate it.
You know, a lot around here, just, I think what a lot of kids need around here is just someone to look up to and say, oh, wow, they can do it, and they're from here, I could do it as well.
No, yeah, most definitely. And, you know, a lot of kids, like you said, have rough situations where they don't have, you know, a dad, or they don't have a mom, or they don't even have parents, you know, or, you know, just life is tough growing up. You know, everyone has their own situation. So, you know, just for me to just kind of be there and, you know, just be, you know, a person to just kind of say, hey, like, you can make it out, you can do it, like, you can get out of this town, you can get out of this, like, you can do it, like, it's possible. A lot of people have done it, but I'm one example, you know. So exactly. I just try to be a good role model for everyone in the community.
And I think you are, you know, I see that when you went from Penn State to the NFL, you graduated, you got your degree.
Yes,
that's correct. So is that something that was important to you before going to the NFL, or is that something?
Yeah, my goal with college was always getting my degree, even if the NFL or anything didn't work out. So yeah, I always had that goal in mind. Especially, you know, they're paying for college.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Free education. Well, who the hell am I to reject, you know, a free degree? You know, so I figured, you know, I'll take the most out of my 5 years at Penn State. I'm gonna make the most out of it, and I'm almost done with another degree too. So, you know, I'm you know, I try to make the best out of that situation and try to make the most out of it, because you never know, especially in the NFL. The NFL is an acronym; it stands for not for long. You know,
exactly.
I was reading, like, literally the other day, I was reading percentages, like, out of a million, it's like average high school players that come out and go to college, only about like 6% make it to college. And out of that 6% in college, those kids, it goes down to like about 1.2% for kids from the transition from college to the NFL. So it's very, very damn hard to make it in the NFL. And that's only, like, that 1.2% is if you get drafted, or like if you get signed right away, like, you get what I'm saying? As the years go on, that percentage goes lower and lower and lower and lower. So to have that degree as a fallback, huge. And especially from Penn State, which is a huge school, huge
course,
alumni network, things like that. You know, I meet a Penn Stater every day. Like, that was the big thing about going to Penn State too for me, was just, you know, having that alumni reach and, you know, having that degree, because that degree is very, very, you know, it's yeah. powerful.
And I saw that when you committed to Penn State, you were saying, that's it, Penn State, I don't want to hear about any other schools. But tell me why. You know, did you always love Penn State? Was it the coaches?
You know, it's funny, because actually I was hell-bent on going to Ohio State a week before I committed to Penn State. Like, I was literally going to visit Ohio State the week after. And I was probably going to commit if it was a good visit. But I just fell in love with Penn State so much. You know, Coach Franklin, the coaches over there that were there at the time, they made me feel very comfortable. And they made it feel like a family environment. And, you know, I'm just very grateful for, you know, them investing into me and giving me a free scholarship and, you know, letting me play football at their school. But, yeah, no, I just felt like it was close to home. It has obviously great academics, powerful alumni reach, powerful degree. You know, it's Penn State. It's a big school. Like, yeah. Everyone, like, the minute you hear Penn State, everyone knows what you're talking about.
Exactly.
So, you know, to have that kind of degree in my back pocket and to have that, you know, access to that alumni network. I mean, there's Penn State alums everywhere. So to have that was just a real big deciding factor for me, at least. And then obviously from the football aspect, you know, I figured I'd be able to play right away because they had just came off their sanctions, you know, obviously from the Jerry Sandusky things and, you know, of that nature.
Yeah,
no. But no, just, yeah. So they just recently had came off those sanctions when I got there. So I figured, hey, like, this would be a school where I, you know, it looks like it'll be a big time, and, you know, I feel like they're gonna get there. It was a risk I took, and, you know, luckily for me it paid off. You know, I played 3.5 years on a lot of good teams. Played with Saquon, played with, you know, Mike Gesicki, Chris Godwin. You know, just big NFL names right now. Like, you know, it was a blessing. It was a blessing.
Now, tell me. So I know getting into D1, I know that's its own dream, its own when you're a football player.
Yeah.
But when was it in your mind that, hey, I'm going to the NFL, or I might go to the NFL? Like, when was that, like, a reality in you and less of a dream?
Just getting into college was really hard enough. I mean, listen, I was blessed that I was 6'4", 315 pounds. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just to get into college is a blessing. But the NFL, I thought it was starting to become more real, I think, at the end of my junior year, because that's when I was kind of deciding, do I want to leave? Do I want to stay? What do I want to do? And I obviously ended up deciding to stay. I had a great senior year, won the Cotton Bowl. You know, it was awesome time. But yeah, that jump from the NFL, I felt like it would have been very real, or it was very real my junior year, I would have to say.
All right, awesome.
I definitely would have to say my junior year. I felt like it, and obviously my senior year, you know, I'm obviously going to get looked at, but yeah, no, for sure.
And I know that they say that's a risk. Like, if you're thinking about going to NFL in your junior year, like, you could get hurt the next year. So
yeah. So actually, it's it's a risk both ways, to be honest, because if you go out early and, you know, it doesn't really pan out, then you're kind of, you know, you're screwed.
Yeah, but out of the gray as well,
you're,
like you said.
You're screwed, yeah. You're out of the loop, you're out of the mix. But then, obviously, if you stay another year, you can get hurt. The big thing that, you know, Penn State kind of did for us, they had, like, sports consulting people that kind of, you know, graded where we would be, where we would be probably projected to be drafted, what NFL, you know, GMs and things like that were saying. So to have that kind of asset, you know, for us to look at, it kind of helped me decide, like, all right, my junior year I was supposed to be like a sixth, seventh to undrafted. And that's what they were telling me. So I was like, okay, like, it's probably better if I stay. But, like, you know, if you look at a guy like Saquon Barkley, it's, you know, in his third year, they're like, you're most definitely going to be a first round pick. Like, so, you know, it really just depends on the situation. You know, I know a lot of guys that left early, but they were also guaranteed for second round picks. And, you know, you're not going to turn down that money. You're not going to turn down $30 million guaranteed.
Makes sense. And I'm assuming these are wide receiver, running back positions.
Yeah, mainly, at least from Penn State. But, you know, there's also offensive linemen and things like that come out early.
Now, tell me about that. Is there, like, you know, and when we watch ESPN, we're always looking for, you know, is Tom Brady throwing a football, or, you know, or Dak Prescott. But, you know, the lineman situation, how is, tell me what that feels like. Is you're being, you know, being in the NFL is one thing, but then you got the quarterback and the running back and the wide receiver getting all the shine. So
honestly, this is not biased. I think linemen are definitely offensive linemen, but just linemen, you know, defensive linemen, offensive linemen, but mainly offensive linemen, just because that's what I play. I think that's the hard, other than quarterback, I think that's the hardest position. Just from just the mental and physical aspect, you're hitting someone every play. Every play you hit someone. Mentally, you have to figure out, is this guy going to blitz? Is this guy going to move? Is it, you know, what's this play? How do I block this to this look? So there's a lot of things that go on in your mind that you have to process very, very fast. Same thing with the quarterback, that he has to process, you know, his coverages and things like that. So I think it's offensive line is very tough just because of the mental and physical aspect, but then also we're just, you know, we're the unsung heroes. You know, we're the guys that will just do the hard work, we'll grind, we'll do everything we can to win the game, you know, have the running back run for 200 yards or have the quarterback throw for 400 yards. But, you know, those guys will come out on the headlines and will be, you know, kind of maybe noticed. You know, the only time they really notice us is when we let up like fucking 10 sacks.
Yeah, of course.
Game.
Yeah.
You know, so
that's when you notice.
That's the only time that people care about the offensive line. Oh, how many freaking sacks they let up. You know, so, yeah, I had my fair share of criticisms, you know, but, you know, it's cool being the unsung hero because you kind of always have a chip on your shoulder. And me personally, just from the way I grew up, the way I've, you know, how life has gone for me, I've always had just a chip on my shoulder. So, you know, being an offensive lineman just fit, you know, kind of how I play, you know.
So, tell me, like you said, growing up with a chip on your shoulder. Kind of tell me, like, you know, what's your Union City experience? Like, you know, when I have my followers, we have some followers that just moved here, right? And their experience is a new luxury condo, light rail system.
Yeah, it's a lot different.
And then, you know, you come back to the eras that, I mean, you probably grew up in. It was a little different, you know.
Very different.
Grew up before Union City High School was built. So yeah. There was Roosevelt Stadium there. So.
Oh, yeah, I remember Roosevelt Stadium, too. Yeah, it's not. I even played in Roosevelt Stadium. Like I said, in the youth league like Pop Warner, that I used to play for the Packers. That was like the really like little kid, like 4 or 5 years old. No. And that's, I was, every day we practiced in Roosevelt Stadium. I was like, this stadium kind of stinks.
Yeah. I lost my eighth grade year. I was on the Red Raiders from really? Bergen. And we had a county championship game against Jersey City, and we lost there. And when we destroyed the stadium, I was so happy.
You were like, yes.
Get rid of that.
Take all
the bad memories. I had rug burns from the rug they had on the floor.
No, that stadium was rough. And I just remember all the bird poop everywhere, like everywhere. Yes. I was like, what the hell? They don't clean this place? But no, it was hilarious. But no, I think Union City has changed a lot. I mean, just in the 5 years that I was gone, you know, from, you know, when I was in college and things like that. I mean, it's changed so much. You know, you see all these new luxury condos and all this, but, you know, I just think the good thing about Union City, and I think the good thing about, you know, Hudson County is just kind of the sense of community everyone has. Like I said, my dad passed away. There was a lot of people I didn't even know. You know, people are coming up to me, yeah, I'm sorry to hear about your dad. Like, I'm, you know, like, it's little things, you know, maybe they're not genuine, maybe they are, you know, who knows, but the fact that they're saying it to me and the fact that they're showing their condolence, the fact that they're coming and showing support, I mean, I greatly appreciate that, you know, and, And, you know, I just think the sense of community and the sense of, you know, everyone just being connected and, you know, and like I said, it's a very small town. So, you know, everyone knows each other pretty much. Like, I see the almost same faces almost every day. So, imagine. Like, you know, you start to, you know, build community and start to build, you know, that kind of those relationships with everyone around you. But, you know, I just, it's a busy town for sure. You know, there's always something going on. There's always, you know, something happening. But I think there's still a sense of community and still a sense of people, you know, just being, you know, good-hearted, you know, and just trying to do, you know, show support for others.
All right, awesome. So tell me about some places that you like to eat in Union City, and, like, you know, we got the spotlight on, you know, maybe wherever Steven says right now, that's where people are going to go eat now.
Especially a lineman. You always got to trust a lineman's opinion. To be honest, in Union City,
or just in Hudson County, we'd have to
Hudson County.
We could bleed over into West New York, Union City, Gatlinburg.
I mean, there's too many. I've been to too many spots.
Or I guess, like, tell me about more spots that, like, your childhood. Like, this is my childhood staple. Maybe that'll be easier to concise it down to.
Childhood staple. Obviously, I mean, Dos Amigos, it's a Hudson County staple.
Right. I just wanted to make sure you were a fellow Dos Amigos ambassador.
Of course.
With me.
Okay. Yeah, of course. Right. Of course. I know there's a lot of Dos Amigos haters out there, but just listen. You're all wrong. Sorry. Yeah. No, but whatchamacallit. I like Roomba a lot. I think Roomba, you know, for the price, and, you know, they make their drinks very strong. And I think for the price, you know, and for how much food you get, I just think you can't beat it.
And like, you're Cuban, so yeah, a Cuban. I'm a little Ruba Cubana.
Biased, but you know, I like to go out in Hoboken a lot. I think Hoboken has a lot of nice spots. Jersey City's starting to get a lot of nice spots. I know there's, like, a nice hibachi spot in Hoboken called Ayame. I'm trying to think of the names of a couple spots in Jersey City, but, you know, you can go all over around Hudson County and you can find great food spots. I think that's a great part about, you know, just Hudson County and Union City and all, you know, all the towns. There's just so much diversity and so much culture here that you literally can find anything. Like,
of course.
If you're feeling Thai food, you can go find Thai food. Like, if you're feeling Japanese, you can go find Japanese. If you're feeling Cuban, you can go find Cuban. So I think the diversity
definitely you get Cuban here.
Yeah, no, for sure. But just, like, that diversity is just super good. Like, it's super good just from the community sense, but also obviously if you're trying to find a meal.
Yeah, definitely.
But no, it's there's a lot of food spots. I honestly, I'm bad at names and remembering names, you know, sometimes. So I can't really think of things off the top of my head unless it's, like...
No, but I think you said Dos Amigos. I think you got the right answer.
Dos Amigos and Roomba is
exactly what I was asking. I was like, are you...
Are you a Dos Amigos fan?
Yes. That's cool. So, you know, kind of got into, you know, your high school years. We talked about college a little bit, NFL, talked about the community. So, you know, tell us, you know, who you are besides the 6'4", 310 NFL player. Who is Steven besides that?
I mean, to be honest, football has kind of always revolved around my life. So lately I've been really trying to figure myself out a lot lately. And, you know, I've been doing a lot of meditation, a lot of praying, a lot of, you know, just taking time for myself and just kind of reflecting on my life and kind of what my interests are and things like that. I mean, I'm a simple guy, to be honest. I like going out to eat. You know, I like, you know, spending time with my dog. You know, I like being at home, being lazy, but then I also like to go out and have fun. So, you know, I'm very, you know, I'm a very laid back kind of guy. Like, I'm not, you know, anything exciting or anything like that, but, you know, I like to have my fun.
All right. So what kind of dog you have?
German Shepherd.
All right. A lot of hair. All right. So
yeah, it's all over me right now.
Oh, okay. Adam Lindroll, I was supposed to give it to you before we walked in.
That would have been clutch, dude. No, seriously.
Right. We'll edit it out. I see.
I broom my house every day. Every day, because it's filled with hair. And I blow his coat with, like, a little, like, machine that, like, blows, you know, the hair off. And I brush it. And I do everything for this dog. Yeah. Nope, he still sheds like crazy.
How old is he?
Four.
Four, all right, so.
Yeah.
Quite a while now.
Well, actually, about to be four, okay. February. So.
Sweet.
Yeah, but.
And you live by yourself? You have a partner?
I actually live with my mom right now. All right. You know, just back home, like I said, temporary.
Better place to be.
I don't care. She, you know, we make meals together. She helps me, you know.
You got one mom, one life. Hey.
Literally. No, you only get one parent.
I don't think it's a flex out there if you think, oh, I moved out early at 18. All right, then you got less love than
listen,
you
should. Listen, I moved, if you technically think about it, I moved out at 18. I was out. I was in college. I was by myself, really, if you think about it. And I had no support from no one. Mm-hmm. You know, I was supported supporting myself pretty much out there. I mean, my mom supported me, obviously, but
yeah. You know, I mean, you're out there by yourself.
Literally, yeah. Like, I can't just be like, hey, mom, can you cook me a meal? Like, no, I have to make that myself. So, you know, I'm used to, and even when I was, like, with Arizona and Buffalo, like, I always, you know, was been by myself and things like that, so I'm used to that, but... Hey, I don't mind. She, you know, she cooks for me here and there, and I can't complain.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm sure she's happy to have
you. I just got to clean the house. Oh, yeah, especially, you know, the 5 years that I was gone, like, you know, that it was a long time separate from each other, and, you know, me and her have a close relationship, too, so, you know, I'm just happy that, you know, I'm able to kind of see her again, you know, and like I said, after my experience with my dad, I just kind of sort of gained an appreciation more for my parents, you know, and more for my mom, especially just all the sacrifices she's made for me. And, you know, she's a huge person in my life, like literally went probably number one next, you know, with my dad. So,
shout out Mama Gonzalez.
Yeah, shout out Mama Gonzalez. That's sweet. But no, yeah, so, to, you know, to be around her and to just kind of spend time with her, you know, and like I said, I missed 5 years in college, you know, she would come up to every game though. So at least I got to see her. Yeah, no, like, no, this lady's crazy. Like she would, she, like my senior year, she came to every game. So like she drove all the way to Iowa for a game. And that's like a 9 hour drive.
That's love right there.
Yeah, no. So, but yeah, so to be able to just kind of spend time with her, like it's a blessing, you know, and I'm so appreciative of it, even though, you know, it's not the situation I, you know, want to be in, you know, with all due respect, it's not the situation I want to be in, but you know, I'm still working hard. I'm still doing what I got to do and hopefully it will change.
Yeah, and that was interesting. Before I was, I was thinking about the kind of questions we would talk about. And I was thinking about like, when you're having a interview right now with people who are in the NFL right now, it's certain, you know, they're thinking, oh, wow, you want to be on a team right now. And I'm thinking from an aspect that we're really proud of you. You did, you know, I know you're not in a situation where you want to be, but we all look up to you and say, you did it, you know? So I know there's that, you know, the double-edged sword, but like, you know, the city's proud of you, definitely.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And I appreciate everyone in the city who's shown me support. But obviously, you know, my goals are, you know, my dreams are my dreams.
No, we still got to get you there. My dreams are young. Your knees are good, you know.
Yeah, right. Then as long, once the knees go out, it's over for me. But no, you know, I'm just trying to get into any league right now. You know, whether it's Canada in the CFL or XFL or even the USFL that's coming up. You know, whatever league I get into, it's going to be a blessing for me. And you know, I'm going to work hard for whatever team I get into. But I just want to play football. Like that's my dream. You know, I'm happy I went to the NFL because I can say, you know, even though I got cut at the end of training camp, you know, the situations worked out the way they did. Yeah. I can always say I was part of that 1.2% of guys that made it. Exactly. You know, I can always say I was one of those guys, you know. And I competed. I played well. I thought I played pretty well over there. So, you know, I'm proud and I have no regrets about that I can say, listen, even if I never get a shot back in the NFL, I can always say, hey, I made it. You know, there's a lot of guys from, especially my 2020 draft class, the COVID class, a lot of guys didn't even get an invite to training camp. Wow. So, you know, for me to just be able to get two training camps back-to-back years, you know, that's a blessing and I'm grateful for that.
Sweet. And we definitely want to see you back in uniform, you know, no matter what league it is.
Yeah, I want to see myself back in uniform. I miss it. Yeah. I miss the field.
And when we think about it, like we think about the resources that kind of like you have in Union City. Like I know the Union City High School actually, you know, had a lot more resources than, you know, people in Hudson County are accustomed to. But if we think about all the NFL players that are actually in the league, do you feel like a lot of them already had like a lot more resources available to them, like year-round training, kind of like the professional trainers, the professional nutritionists, while we're here in Hudson County eating Dos Amigos and running down Burger Line, you know?
I think, you know, everyone's situation is kind of different. I think it just kind of depends on, you know, how you handle it and just kind of how things work out, to be honest. You know, Listen, I got hurt. So my senior year, so this was kind of the draft process for me when I was coming out and going to the NFL. I was going to do a senior game, which is, you know, a big event where everyone, you know, all the scouts go and they go watch and they take notes and they see how you play. And, you know, obviously your grade goes up if you play well. Unfortunately, I was playing well in the first practice and then I got hurt. I got rolled up on from behind. My ankle got like bad. Like it was I think it almost had broken. And I tried my best to kind of go out and practice, like, you know, a couple of days later, I rested it. You know, I rested it for a couple of days, iced it, and tried to see if maybe I can just, I couldn't even walk.
Yeah, it was a sprain?
It was a bad, like a high ankle sprain, but yeah.
I know people think sprains are jokes. No. I hear that a break is probably a better thing for you than actually spraining, because your tendons are pulling and there's no getting that.
I've had so many sprains that, like, even like when I was doing my training for the NFL and things, like, my trainer was like, "You have super stiff ankles. Like, did you sprain your ankles a lot?" I was like, "Yeah, a lot of basketball, spraining my ankles and things like that." I was like, "Oh, we got to get that loosened up, because, you know, it's important." But, you know, so unfortunately, I got rolled up on that, you know, kind of ended my that opportunity for me. So, and then if I had played well in that game, I was going to get my invite to the combine, because I was one of those guys that were on the bubble. Like, he could get an invite if he plays well. And I was, obviously situations didn't work out. So I didn't get an invite to the combine. So I was here thinking, okay, I have no combine, no senior game. Okay, it's not looking good, but we can fix it. I'm going to work hard. And I did. And I'm going to try to do my best at Penn State Pro Day. Penn State Pro Day is pretty much just a combine that Penn State runs, but all the scouts and GMs, like head coaches, even sometimes they come and they watch and they scout. It's pretty much like, it's a combine pretty much. I was testing well. You know, a lot of the scouts had kind of wanted to see, you know, my speed and kind of my, you know, mobility, because in college I was, you know, the scouts were always saying, you know, he's a big, powerful guy and he can move people off the ball, but he's not as nimble on his feet as other guys that, you know, they like. So I was trying to prove to them, listen, like, I can move, I'm nimble. And, you know, I was running, you know, when I first got to training, I was running a 5.7 or 5.6. That's horrible.
No, I'm saying, hey, that's my running right now.
You're probably like, wow, that's great. No, like,
if I can run under a 6 flat, I'm ready.
No, yeah. But
yeah, what is the, like, an average for a lineman? So the average is that 4.7, 4.8, or
that's a very, that's elite. That's like, okay. Yeah, no. So the average is like a 5. Okay. And that's what I was, the average. I was a 5.7 at the beginning. This was like in January, February. By the time March hit, it was March. By the time March hit, it was already at a 5 flat, the average. Which is a huge jump.
Of course. And how many months was that?
This literally like 2 months.
2 months. So athletes out there, you can cut your 40.
It takes a lot of work.
There you go.
There are a lot of work. A lot.
But it can be done. Just,
yeah, day.
The point of this podcast, or in general, what I did want to do at HuddPost, is I want people to know, like,
no, it's possible.
It can be done.
No, it's possible.
And it can be done from where you are right now.
Most definitely. Yeah. I'm not even the first example. Mm-hmm. Josue Matias, Evan Rodriguez, you know, all these guys that came out of here and made it, you know. So Pedro Sosa, too, who some people forget, too, but he played in the NFL for a little bit. So, you know, a lot of guys can make it. You could do it. Anyone could do it. But, yeah, kind of as I was saying, I was, you know, I improved all my speed times and things like that. And then, unfortunately, COVID. That's the week COVID hit. Like, the whole United States went into lockdown. Uh-huh. And the NFL just said, you know, we could send a scout or two, but we're not going to do that because we're not going to risk it. And so that kind of messed up a lot of guys' opportunities in my draft class.
Of course. And just even dealing with your age, just a year, 2 years, that's 2 years that's added to your career. Yeah.
Literally. And so, you know, for them, you know, not trying to find another way to kind of, you know, try to scout these guys or try to see, you know, get much, because a lot of guys already had gotten their pro days done. Like half of the colleges already finished their pro day. So a lot of guys had their stuff done, but a lot of guys didn't. So it was kind of a discrepancy and a very, you know, it wasn't kind of fair, kind of, you know, it wasn't really, you know, you're not giving guys their opportunity to really prove themselves. So, you know, I was kind of just been fighting with that lately, and just kind of like, and that's when I started seeing, you know, kind of the business side of the NFL. And then it's like, you know, turns you off a little bit. You know, these past 2 years, I fought, you know, anger, you know, depression, just because, you know, that's hard, you know, to get that call to, they tell you, literally they text you to bring your laptop or bring your tablet down. When you get that text, that's the Grim Reaper coming for you in the NFL. bring your tablet down text.
And, you know, what do you rely on now? I know, like, mental health is a big thing. You know, during COVID, I would say, I think exposed a lot of things.
Yeah.
And also help reveal a lot of things. Help reveal, you know, what your purpose is and kind of understanding who you are as a person. Death. So I can only imagine you're having the best time of your life. You're at the pinnacle. Like, I'm about to hit up the NFL.
And then
COVID hits.
And crash.
And, you know, the NFL didn't know what was going to go on. America didn't know what was going on. You absolutely have no idea what was going to go on. So what did you do to stay motivated during, especially during that quarantine time where I know we were all locked in our
apartments,
houses,
whatever. Like I said, it was very tough for me just because, you know, it was a lot of inconsistency, a lot of, this team's interested in you. Oh, they're not that interested in you. Oh, this. So it was kind of very tough. And, you know, like I said, I fought a lot of, you know, anger just because I was angry. You know, why did COVID have to hit when I was going to the NFL? I could have left a year before. Why did it happen now? So there was a lot of questions kind of just that I had to answer myself and just kind of, you know, I had to really work on myself a lot. I think, you know, doing a lot of, like I said before, meditating, praying, you know, spending time around family, kind of just enjoying the little things. You know, you only get one life, unfortunately. You only get one life. You only get one chance at it. And that's just kind of how I've been living by every day. And Coach Franklin at Penn State kind of taught us, you know, four core values that, you know, we should live with every day. And they're kind of still instilled in me till today. And I still kind of abide by it. But the one that really stands out to me out of the four is positive attitude, great work ethic, compete in everything you do. And then you got to be willing to sacrifice. That's, you know, the four, positive attitude, great work ethic, compete and sacrifice. The one that really stands out to me, I think, is the positive attitude. Because I think the positive attitude, the way you go about your life, the way you go about how you think, the way you wake up in the morning. If you wake up in the morning and you're like, wow, this day is going to suck. This day is going to be shitty. Like, if you think like that, it's going to be shitty. Your day is going to suck. So to have a positive attitude kind of controls everything else, all the other core values or just anything in your life, just how you feel, like how you go about your day, like. I think that was the one big thing for me that I really wanted to start implementing was just waking up every day, just kind of naming things I'm just grateful for, you know, appreciative for. And, you know, I've just been trying to, you know, it's still, you know, work in progress, but I think I've gotten a lot better. And like I said, it was tough. You know, those quarantine days were rough. I really, you know, wasn't doing. And it's funny because, like, when I got drafted by when I got signed by the Cardinals, typically, they do like a OTA mini camp, and all, like I said, all that was canceled. Training, or not the training camp, but just the game, preseason games were all canceled. So, just, you know, kind of doing everything virtual and doing all that virtual stuff was tough.
Playing football virtually must be
hard. No, it's to learn virtually is super hard. Like, because, yeah, you know,
that's what it is. You're just learning.
The internet's bad. Like, your internet can be bad. You can miss a play. You can miss a, you know, important detail your coach is trying to tell you. So, you know, I think that made, you know, my rookie year, especially trying to learn a system, like, you know, an NFL playbook is very, very extensive, especially on, like a Cardinals or, you know, who has like an offensive-minded head coach. So, you know, the playbook is very extensive. So to try to learn that online and to try to, you know, with bad internet and lag and, you know, and things like that, you know, you miss a lot of important details and you miss a lot of things that, you know, obviously, I went back if I missed anything, but still, it's like it made it very troublesome and very, you know, it used to stress me out. So, and especially, like I said, when you're trying to fight for your job, like, and especially being undrafted, you know, you're really fighting for your job because they didn't invest that much money into you, so they don't really care if they cut you. Like, you're expendable to them. But, you know, if you work out, then they're like, oh, wow, we found this undrafted guy. But, you know, if you don't work out, they're like, oh, okay, bye. We'll find someone else. So, you know, to have all that COVID stuff going on, all the virtual stuff, you know, it was tough quarantine. But like I said, I've been trying to just kind of find myself, stick to what I know, stick to being positive, stick to being, you know, trying to meditate, trying to pray, and just trying to keep myself up, keep myself in good spirits, because if you let it sink you down, you're going to go sinking with it.
You got me
in
good spirits. I'm thinking about waking up tomorrow. You know, I'm going to start meditating today.
I mean, it helps, man. It helps. And like I said, it's taken me a while to kind of, you know, get to that point. Like, it's been struggles where, like, a week or two I'm happy, but, you know, something goes wrong and I'm pissed for a month. You get what I'm saying? So it's been a constant battle, but I feel like I'm finally trending upwards, and I'm finally, you know, I'm happy. I'm happy with myself now, and, you know, I'm happy, even though the situation is not the way I want it to be, you know, not the way I wanted it to work out. I still have hope that, you know, there's another opportunity out there for me, whether it's in Canada, whether it's in the USFL, XFL, or even just in my, you know, when I go into my career after football is done. So, you know, I just have that optimism and that, you know, that optimism and that kind of positive thinking that, you know, things will change. I just have to keep working hard and keep, you know, doing the right things.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that. And I think that's a perfect way to end off the podcast. Is, yeah. You know, that, you know, things are positive. I think what, you know, the way you have your mindset and just you're a young guy. Like you said, your knees are good. Your ankle, you said, we're getting a little flexible. We're getting there.
We're getting it flexible. It was a little stiff. We're getting it flexible now.
But I think you have a great support system. You know, the city loves you. I know when I told people that you were going to be on, everyone's excited. We got to give a shout out to your sister who actually hooked
us up. Yeah, shout out Jen. Shout out Jen.
You know, HudPost got the hookup. I just can't hit people up. So, you know, I had a nice, good, warm connection to Steve.
Shout out my sister Jen. Shout out her.
Shout out Jen. Did she just get married?
Yes, she did.
Shout out to Jen getting married.
She literally just, I think it was in October. So she just got married. Sweet. But. No, yeah, it's awesome. I really appreciate you having me on here. It's kind of been, you know, the podcast and just the episode itself has just kind of been relieving to me, I guess, in some sort of way, because I'm able to kind of tell my story that a lot of people don't know. You know, a lot of people don't know, you know, how I felt about my dad. A lot of people don't know how I felt about, you know, the process of the draft and, how all that went down. Because a lot of people ask me now, they're like, you know, what are you doing with your life? Like, what do you, and I hate that question because I'm kind of like,
what everyone's doing, we're trying out here.
I'm trying. Because a lot of people ask, but, you know, I'm trying. And so for me to be able to, you know, and like I said, HudPost is a very big platform in Hudson County.
I appreciate that. Very big platform in Hudson County. I didn't say he did.
Very good following in Hudson County. So for me to just kind of get my story out there and just kind of, you know, tell people my side of it so people kind of can see both sides and see both perspectives and just kind of see, like, okay, like, you know, this dude's been really actually fighting. Because me, I'm not an Instagram. I'm on it, but I'm not really, like,
you're not.
I'm not posting my accomplishments. I'm not doing, I'm not that kind of guy. Like, I don't really like posting my personal life out there, you know. I'm not that kind of guy, so... for me to be able to come on here and to be able to kind of give my story, man, I'm super grateful.